The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, weather or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. It's virtual graduation season right now, and this week I decided to take a look at one rural town that began a program to pay for their students' college education. Learn the impact the program has had on local businesses, family schools, population decline, or perhaps lack thereof, and more. Plus, we'll show you how you can make it happen in your community. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot BioProven. It's time to rethink nitrogen. Pivot BioProven replaces nitrogen fertilizer with microbes that adhere to the crop's root system and apply nitrogen each day. 2019 performance report data shows Pivot BioProven consistently outperforms synthetic nitrogen fertilizer year over year, providing corn growers improved yields and a more dependable nitrogen supply that isn't lost to the environment. To read the performance report, go to pivotbio.com. And for more information on Pivot BioProven, simply text PROVEN to 31313. It's graduation season, and that had me thinking about the future of those in our rural and agricultural communities who may be leaving home for work, college, the military, and more. For those looking to higher education, is it within grasp, or is the cost outpacing the ability for some to afford a degree? And if they do get a college degree, are those students inclined to come back to our communities? What if there was a way to help students further their education after high school, help bolster your local businesses, influence families to live in your community, and create great schools all at the same time? Jason Jones is my guest, the executive director of the Arkadelphia, Arkansas Promise. As you'll hear in a moment, his town is what I consider a mid-sized rural town. Of course, that all depends on where you live, I guess. But they graduate around 100 students each year, and their program has certainly made a difference in the school and community. We discussed how they make it happen and how all of us could replicate it in the places we live. Jason Jones is my guest. Jason is in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Hey, Jason, you know, you're going to tell us about the Promise program down there, and I've been following this even though we haven't had a chance to visit. First of all, I don't even know what your title is with the Promise program. I know that you're associated with it. Maybe give a little bit of your background and tell me a little bit about Arkadelphia, too, because I've not been through Arkadelphia before.
Okay, well, great. So I'm the executive director of the Arkadelphia Promise Foundation, and my background pre-Promise program was a high school and college, mostly college, women's basketball coach. And so I've got a lifelong career in education one way or another. And my dad was an Air Force chaplain, so I was a bit of an Air Force brat slash preacher's kid. Spent most of my time in Arkansas. We were out of state with the Air Force a couple of terms, and grew up, I claim, Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, a rice, soybean, cotton growing community up in northeast Arkansas as my hometown. I've been in Arkadelphia for about 20 years now, and Arkadelphia is located between Little Rock and Dallas. If you're on I-30 and you've ever been to Little Rock, made that Little Rock-Dallas trek, then you've driven right through our town of about 10,000. We have a couple of local colleges. Ouachita Baptist University and Henderson State University are both housed right here in Arkadelphia.
So Arkadelphia Promise, the Promise programs have been around for a little while. Talk about what a Promise program is, maybe to begin with, because, you know, lots of high schools have scholarships, but a Promise program is a little bit different, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's what we call a place-based scholarship program, meaning basically, if you're from that community, it is very likely that you'll qualify for this scholarship. Each community does their Promise programs differently based on the amount of money that they have to give in scholarships. The mothership is in Kalamazoo, Michigan. They have a program that is funded in perpetuity, and it is massive, and they have, I would say, hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on it. It's a massive program that they've been put in charge of. And then honestly, where we kind of came from was El Dorado, Arkansas, about 90 minutes south of us, announced a promise program that was funded by the Murphy Oil Company a few years prior to us announcing our promise program. And, you know, as Mark Twain said, we take old ideas and put them in a kaleidoscope, give the kaleidoscope a twist. And, you know, so basically, you know, our twist on the kaleidoscope is a little different than what El Dorado does. But honestly, most of us are very similar in that we're trying to give college kids, our high school graduates from our community that go on to college, we're trying to give them some financial support to help pay for college because it's very expensive.
Right. And the Promise programs, now, and I've read a little bit about yours. I'm fairly familiar with El Dorado's. And, of course, you mentioned Kalamazoo there. A lot of times these Promise scholarships will cover most, if not all, of tuition for graduates from those places. Is that right?
Yeah. Kind of the original one at Kalamazoo, their intent was to pay for tuition and fees, you know, all necessary fees. That's kind of what El Dorado does. Here in Arkansas, we also have a state lottery, and a lot of that money, or at least some of that money, goes into the Arkansas Challenge Scholarship Program. And so here in Arkadelphia, we kind of combine our promise money with Arkansas Challenge Scholarship money to do everything we can to give our students as much money as possible to help pay for their tuition and fees.
Right. So I read on your website then that the students can apply for that lottery scholarship, and then whatever it doesn't cover, that's where the idea of your scholarships come in to cover the rest. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And then we also take advantage, you know, we're really aggressive. My role is I'm sort of like a college counselor as well as a scholarship administrator. We try to help our kids find other scholarships, and we don't give our students less money if they find other scholarships, but we're just doing everything we can to help our community kids find as much money as possible to help pay for college. And, you know, we have kids get big academic scholarships, and maybe that can go to pay for room and board, and the promise money will go for tuition and fees. So a lot of our kids end up going and, you know, have very little, if any, out-of-pocket expenses whenever it's all said and done. And of course, we're also very active in helping our students fill out the FAFSA, and hopefully, those that qualify for Pell Grant can use that money as well. So we're just trying to help them access every avenue for any type of financial assistance that we can find for them.
Take me back to when the program started. Was it just looking down the road at El Dorado that you said, hey, we need to do this? Or was there something going on in the community? Or why did people get together and say, this is something we should do?
Yeah, there was a group of folks, and they were kind of working on economic driver types of ideas. And a piece of that that plan was to create a promise type of program. And part of it was to, you know, we knew we needed to increase the college going rate of our high school. It wasn't where it should be. We knew that we wanted to help lower the college debt that students were coming out of college with. And the community, this economic driver part of it was they needed and wanted a more educated workforce, because some of the plants or the types of jobs they were trying to bring into Arkadelphia, they kept being told, you know, we really need more college graduates. We need more engineers. We need, you know, we just need more folks with college degrees that are willing to come to Arkadelphia. And so they felt like, hey, we should be trying to cultivate that out of our local high school kids that go on to college, and maybe they'll want to come back home after college and work here in this community if we have jobs available for them.
So at that point, then, did they just begin raising the money? Did they have businesses step forward? How did you begin to get the cash you need then to have the money to do it?
Right. So we have at that time, we had a couple of major players in the banking market in Arkansas. One was an affiliate of that branch, and it's the Ross Foundation. And the family has a background in banking and in the forestry industry, which is one of our big industries in South Arkansas because we have so many pine trees. And they were willing to jump on board with this from the very beginning. They were instrumental in forming the Arkadelphia Promise. And then a local bank, Southern Bank Corp, they are the other major funder. So it's the two of those, the two different banking organizations or groups funded this 50-50. And they were both all in from the very beginning. Their CEOs, their and their boards were all in on this. And so we were very fortunate that we had a couple of organizations right here in a town of 10,000 that had the mindset to try to make a change right in the local community. Southern Bank Corp has kind of spread its wings throughout Arkansas and the Mississippi Delta and does a lot of other things as well, but they started right here in Arkadelphia, and so they jumped on this idea, I guess, 10, 11 years ago. And so the great part for me is, as the executive director, most of the time somebody in that position would constantly be trying to cultivate the finances to back a program like this, and I've not had to do that. We will at some point have to figure out where we're going, you know, in another 10 years or so. But as of right now, we have our funding in place, and we've had it in place from the very beginning, which has been a real blessing.
Do those programs that have a Promise program, and you mentioned Kalamazoo there at the beginning, do they tend to have that money up front so that it is held in perpetuity and it's just running off the interest? Or is it a program where you're continuing to have to solicit wouldn't be the right word in this case, but continuing to have money coming in order to do it, or do both systems work?
Well, honestly, you see kind of every different way to do it, that a community, you know, if a community puts their mind that they want to have a Promise program for their local kids, there are programs much smaller than ours that have 25, 35 graduates a year, and they have a single donor that has decided that they want to fund this, and they do it that way. There's a community just a few miles from us that when Arkadelphia Promise was announced, they literally passed a baseball cap around at basketball games to collect funds for a scholarship fund because they were scared they were going to lose students to Arkadelphia. And they've continued to do that up until just a couple of years ago. So they literally passed the hat. And so you have communities that do that. And so also, I'll give you another example. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a huge city with a huge school district. The director of that Promise program is constantly raising money, and he raises millions of dollars to keep their program going from year to year, because they don't have, while they do have a couple of huge investors, they don't have the kind of money that, say, Kalamazoo has, where they don't have to raise money constantly.
These stories are leading me where I wanted to go then, as far as, has the program then attracted new families to Arkadelphia? Because, and we should mention, I believe it's a sliding scale. So if you're there K through 12, you could get 100% of the money, but it's lesser right after that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. So initially, to your question, in the first 2 or 3 years, we saw a 2 to 3% increase in the number of students enrolling in our schools. Over time, I think most communities would say it kind of tapers off. It kind of, I think it loses maybe a little bit of its luster, but we definitely, we're a community, you know, that sits about an hour away from Little Rock. We're in South Arkansas, which is not as, it's not the rich area of Arkansas, like Northwest Arkansas with all of the, you know, the Walmart and the Dillard's and the big money that you often hear of in Northwest Arkansas. But what we've been able to do in Arkadelphia is most of the school districts around us are continuing to shrink. We have maintained what we've had for the last however many years. We've not gotten smaller. We've basically been able to kind of hold our own. And sometimes that's what you have to do until you kind of find that next big boom. We're a community that we've lost plants, different plants over the years that employed hundreds of people, but yet somehow we've still been able to be competitive and not shrink. You know, we're not a dying and shrinking community. We're just kind of holding our own right now and hoping for the best.
How much do you think the Promise program played a part in that, then helping you remain stable? And maybe it's also just the mindset then of the community of, hey, we're doing something, and maybe that helps the overall mindset. But how did the Promise program play into all of that, do you think?
Oh, I think it's played a huge part, because part of this economic plan that the community came up with, and it was extensive. I mean, there were literally hundreds of people working on it. I would say that the Arkadelphia Promise has been the most successful thing out of this entire plan. We did pass a 1 cent sales tax for economic development, and that has also done some good for our community. But the Arkadelphia Promise, what we did is we immediately started helping families and with scholarship money. And so we lessened the burden. I often meet with families with husbands and wives that are considering moving to a different community, but the part of the calculation for them is, if I leave, what am I leaving on the table from the Arkadelphia Promise in a couple of years when my kids graduate from high school? And we've had families stay in our community after having these meetings, because they realize, oh, I'm going to end up leaving, you know, 15, 20, whatever, you know, however many thousands of dollars it is. They're going to leave that on the table if they walk away to take a job that maybe is only a $5,000 increase per year. So it's definitely something that our community folks think about, whether they're moving in or moving out. It's a factor. You know, it's significant enough that they calculate that in. I was just meeting with someone who's considering taking a coaching job in a nearby community, but it's far enough they'll have to move. And one of the things they were asking was, wait a minute, I've got a daughter graduating from high school in 2 years. What's that going to do? And I said, well, you know, I had to explain how they wouldn't get any Arkadelphia Promise money, because if you leave the school district, you don't get it, regardless if you've been in the school district for 10 years.
Right, right. Yeah, it can make a huge difference, because the Promise amount, you will pay up to the full tuition of an in-state school, or what? I forget. I've read through that. What is the amount?
Yeah. So basically we've reworked it. And honestly, you may have been reading something from a little bit older draft of what we do, but like, I mean, a typical freshman going to a school in-state is going to get $5,000 their freshman year from us. And when you combine that with the Arkansas Challenge money, as a freshman, that becomes $6,000, plus all the other stuff that we try to help, all the other scholarships that we try to help them put their hands on. So, you know, right off the bat, that's $6,000 you're not having to pay out of pocket for your freshman student. And, that's a big deal for most families.
So the Promise wouldn't cover necessarily all of the tuition, but it would cover a very large chunk, especially if they're getting other scholarships. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. So most of our students aren't having to worry much about their freshman year of college. And then as a sophomore, they end up getting a little bit more money because of the Arkansas Challenge scholarship graduates up. And so they actually get more money each year they're in college when it's all said and done between the Arkadelphia Promise and the Arkansas Challenge.
For some of those students graduating from Arkadelphia there in high school, then how much might the Promise end up paying for, you know, by the time they get out of a 4-year college, what might have they gotten from the Promise program there locally?
Yeah. So, I mean, by the time they're done, it's about $15,000 from the Arkadelphia Promise. And I think it's about $15,000 from the Arkansas Challenge. So between the two, it's $30,000.
And that would be about how many graduates would you have then each year from Arkadelphia going on to college?
Oh, so we send about 80% of our students now enroll as freshmen in the fall after their freshman year. And we normally graduate between 115 to 125 students a year. So, you know, we're sending a bunch of kids to college every year. And, you know, this is something that I even had to adjust my mindset to a little bit when I took this job, because when we went to school, you started school, you stayed in school, and you finished school in, you know, 4 or 5 years. And it's a different world out there for a lot of families, because life happens, and, you know, you have a lot of students that do take longer to graduate. But, and so, like Kalamazoo, they'll let their students spread that scholarship out over 10 years if they have to drop out for a semester and go to work and then go back. And so some Promise programs even allow for things like that. But my point was, if we just feel like if we can get our students to enroll in the fall for their freshman year, and we get them through that freshman year, and now they've got 27 or 30 hours towards a degree, you know, the likelihood of them going back as a sophomore is so much greater. And then if you can get them through that sophomore year, the odds of them graduating from college just grow exponentially. And so while we may not have kids, all of our kids may not finish in 4 years, we do feel like we're doing a lot to get them on a path to get a degree in a reasonable amount of time, regardless of what other life factors happen to them.
And you mentioned an 80% of those students going on to college. I would have to think that that's high above the state average, and you probably saw a big increase once you started the program, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we did some pretty simple research before we, during that first year that I was on the job, right after the Promise was announced. And it looks like we were only sending about 60 to 65% of Arkadelphia kids were going to college. And we immediately jumped up to 75, I think, was in the first year. And then we've been between 75 and 85 every single year. Each class has its own personality. But we're well above the state average. We're well above the national average. Our retention rates are much higher than the state. They're higher than the national average. And it's because of the scholarship. I mean, I don't have any doubt that we're helping take that financial burden away for those students. And it's a lot easier to stay in school when you're not having to worry about, you know, having to pay that full amount that so many people are burdened with.
Oh, yes. Yes. No, there's no doubt about that. Do you find that as far as, and I've read this on other programs, that the school, as far as the academics, have then risen because you have such a higher percentage of students wanting to go on to college, test scores and so forth go up because everybody's gearing up for college? Does that happen there too?
I think so. It's hard to say that that's the reason why, but we feel like it's definitely a factor. And, you know, like we have kids that, when they're kindergartners, first, second, third graders, they already talk about going to college. And a lot of these kids come from families where neither parent went to college. So where are they getting that? Well, they're hearing it from their teachers, who are talking about college being a possibility for them because of the Arkadelphia Promise. So, you know, again, we feel like we've kind of had a mindset change and inserted, you know, whether they realize it or not, we've inserted some hope where there may not have been hope before. We every year we have kids go to college that neither parent went to college. You know, they come out of really bad circumstances, but they know because we've pounded it in their heads, they know how important it is to get additional years of school under their belt.
We've used the word Promise a lot. Is Promise then to have a Promise scholarship, do you have to be a part of that program then? Is that a system that you're a part of?
It's really not. It's a loosely based affiliation, I would say. We're all friends. We all talk. I was on a Zoom meeting a couple weeks ago with Kalamazoo and El Dorado, and we were talking about, you know, the COVID stuff. And but basically it's an affiliation because we're trying to help kids. We have scholarship money available, and every single Promise program is different. I mean, El Dorado and Arkadelphia are very similar, but just to be honest, El Dorado has a lot more money behind their program, and so they are able to do some things that we can't do, but we operate very similarly in some of the things we do. I helped Neodesha, Kansas, start a Promise program just this last year. And the reason they end up being different is because whoever the main funders are or the organizers are, because they're giving the money or they've raised the money, those folks get to have some say in how the program is done. So every program is a little different.
You mentioned Neodesha. I think I have read about this. Was it one family or a farmer that maybe gave some of that money? I'm trying to remember the circumstances there.
It was one family. He was a investor, I think, on Wall Street is where he spent most of his time and did really well, and hadn't lived in Neodesha in decades. But okay. His upbringing, it just, you know, Neodesha was always home, and he wanted to do something for that community. He still had friends there, and we made it happen.
So I'm sure that you have people ask you all the time, well, how could we do this in our community? If people are wanting to do something like that, outside of finding that wealthy investor that wants to come back, is there a good way for them to get started? How do you begin to do it?
Well, you know, it takes money. I mean, that there's no doubt it takes money, but that doesn't mean that it has to be one or two donors. I mean, there are communities that have been able to do it with some really hardcore fundraising. Well, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is, again, it's a good example. They do it by beating the bushes. The communities, hospitals often have been investors in Promise programs, not just in Pittsburgh, but across the country. If there's a hospital that does really well in a community, a lot of times that's where they choose to give back to the community, is through a Promise program. We've heard of those happening. But yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to find where the money is, and you've got to find somebody that, a group of people that have a real tie to the community and want to do something for education.
Yes, no, there's no doubt. Your program does not require students to have to come back to the community. Is that right? Do some do, or how does yours work?
No, we don't. We do not require that. That would be such a hard thing to enforce. That would be a serious legal contract to require them to come back. But, you know, we hope that because they grew up here, you know, the students grew up here, they're folks are here, their relatives and friends, some of them are choosing to stay local. We may not get them back immediately after college, but we hope that we will get, and we've had some success with that, with folks coming back that went through the Promise program that are now occupational therapists or pharmacists or, you know, teachers, doctors. We would like for them to come back and be a part of this community, and they're invested because they do have ties to the community already.
Well, and I was going to ask that. You're probably already starting to see that maybe some students that wouldn't have considered it or may have been on the fence because of the Promise program, has that, you believe, influenced some of those graduates to come back and make Arkadelphia their long-term home?
I think so. In fact, one of our outstanding teachers at our high school, he's a pretty young guy. He's probably 25 or 26 now. He's turned down jobs from bigger, richer school districts. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he loved his experience here. We helped him pay for college, and he just, you know, he loves this community. And I think maybe 10 years ago, this is a teacher that would have opted for greener pastures somewhere else, but we feel like maybe we helped give an extra reason for him to come back here.
Now, in my mind, it seems like that these types of things would be things that all communities should be thinking about. And you mentioned the community next to you passing the hat, whatever they can do. It certainly makes a community stand out from others. And I think perhaps makes a mindset in that community of, you know, the statement we want to make to those graduates.
Absolutely. I mean, we just, whenever you're considering a school district and, you know, say they're, you're needing to move to an area for whatever job it is that you're looking at. And we've had this happen many times. You know, we'll have someone that chooses to drive 30, 45 minutes, but live here, have their family here, have their kids in our local school district because of the Promise program. And I mean, they'll just flat out tell me whenever they happen to run into me, you know, maybe a year later, hey, we moved here because of the Promise, and I drive back and forth to, you know, whatever community it is to do my work.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Jason, before we wind up, how do people find you or more information about Arkadelphia and that Promise program? I believe you have a website and some other info out there. Yeah. Is that right?
Sure. www.arkadelphiapromise.com. And that's similar to Philadelphia, but it's Arkadelphia. Obviously, my contact information is on there. And I'd be happy to visit with anyone that is interested in Promise programs or starting one in their community. You know, none of us get paid to help somebody start a Promise program, but we all act as consultants, myself and the other folks across the country that are running these programs. We've been doing it a while, and we help people find best practices.
Good. Well, I appreciate the information. Hopefully people will get in contact with you.
Yes, sir. Happy to do it.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation, and perhaps it gave you some ideas for where you live, or maybe it made you want to move to Arkadelphia. There are several questions we didn't get to, but a few points I'd emphasize having researched the programs in other towns. One is to remember that these programs are not all the same. In some cases, they may not have all the funds to cover the entire college tuition bill. And perhaps some will say that's all right because it makes the student have some skin in the game when it comes to earning money through other scholarships, work, and so forth. Just because your community may not be able to fund full scholarships, look at what you could do. You may be able to accomplish a lot with the funds you already have. Such programs make communities stand out. And in today's rural America, having a reason that families want to stay and build homes and businesses there is very important to the future of the places we live and work. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, weather or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.